Well, we're continuing reading Exodus chapter 39. Exodus chapter 39. Moreover, from the blue and purple and scarlet material, they made finely woven garments for ministering in the holy place, as well as the holy garments which were for Aaron, just as the Lord had commanded Moses. And he made the ephod of gold and of blue and purple and scarlet material and fine twisted linen. Then they hammered out gold sheets and cut them into threads to be woven in with the blue and the purple and the scarlet material and the fine linen, the work of a skillful workman. They made attaching shoulder pieces for the ephod. It was attached at its two upper ends. And the skillfully woven band which was on it was like its workmanship, of the same material, of gold and of blue and purple and scarlet material and fine twisted linen, just as the Lord had commanded Moses. And they made the onyx stones set in gold filigree settings. They were engraved like the engravings of a signet, according to the names of the sons of Israel. And he placed them on the shoulder pieces of the ephod as memorial stones for the sons of Israel, just as the Lord had commanded Moses. And he made the breastpiece, the work of a skillful workman, like the workmanship of the ephod, of gold and of blue and purple and scarlet material and fine twisted linen. It was square. They made the breastpiece folded double, a span long and a span wide when folded double. And they mounted four rows of stones on it. The first row was a row of ruby, topaz, and emerald. The second row, a turquoise, a sapphire, and a diamond. And the third row, a jacinth, an agate, and an amethyst. And the fourth row, a beryl, an onyx, and a jasper. They were set in gold filigree settings when they were mounted, and the stones were corresponding to the names of the sons of Israel. They were 12 corresponding to their names, engraved with the engravings of a signet, each with its name for the 12 tribes. And they made on the breastpiece chains like cords of twisted cordage work in pure gold. And they made two gold filigree settings and two gold rings, and put the two rings on the two ends of the breastpiece. Then they put the two gold cords in the two rings at the ends of the breastpiece. And they put the other two ends of the two cords on the two filigree setting and put them on the shoulder pieces of the ephod at the front of it. And they made two gold rings and placed them on the two ends of the breastpiece, on its inner edge, which was next to the ephod. Furthermore, they made two gold rings and placed them on the bottom of the two shoulder pieces of the ephod, on the front of it, close to the place where it joined, above the woven band of the ephod. And they bound the breastpiece by its rings to the rings of the ephod with a blue cord, that it might be on the woven band of the ephod, and that the breastpiece might not come loose from the ephod, just as the Lord had commanded Moses. Then he made the robe of the ephod of woven work, all of blue, and the opening of the robe was at the top in the center, as the opening of a coat of mail, with a binding all around its opening that it might not be torn. And they made pomegranates of blue and purple and scarlet material and twisted linen on the hem of the robe. They also made bells of pure gold and put the bells between the pomegranates all around on the hem of the robe, alternating a bell and a pomegranate all around on the hem of the robe for the service, just as the Lord had commanded Moses. And they made the tunics of finely woven linen for Aaron and his sons, and the turban of fine linen, and the decorated caps of fine linen, and the linen breeches of fine twisted linen, and the sash of fine twisted linen, and blue and purple and scarlet material, the work of the weaver, just as the Lord had commanded Moses. And they made the plate of the holy crown of pure gold, and inscribed it like the engravings of a signet, "Holy to the Lord." And they fastened a blue cord to it, to fasten it on the turban above, just as the Lord had commanded Moses. Thus all the work of the tabernacle of the tent of meeting was completed. And the sons of Israel did according to all that the Lord had commanded Moses, so they did. And they brought the tabernacle to Moses, the tent and all its furnishings, its clasps, its boards, its bars, and its pillars, and its sockets, and the covering of ram skins dyed red, and the covering of porpoise skins, and the screening veil, the ark of the testimony and its poles, and the mercy seat, the table, all its utensils, and the bread of the presence, the pure gold lampstand with its arrangement of lamps and all its utensils, and the oil for the light, and the gold altar, and the anointing oil, and the fragrant incense, and the veil for the doorway of the tent, the bronze altar, and its bronze grating, its poles, and all its utensils, the laver, and its stand, the hangings for the court, its pillars, and its sockets, and the screen for the gate of the court, its cords, and its pegs, and all the equipment for the service of the tabernacle, for the tent of meeting, the woven garments for ministering in the holy place, and the holy garments for Aaron the priest, and the garments of his sons to minister as priests. So the sons of Israel did all the work according to all that the Lord had commanded Moses. And Moses examined all the work, and behold, they had done it. Just as the Lord had commanded, this they had done. So Moses blessed them. Exodus 39:43. And Moses examined all the work, and behold, they had done it. Just as the Lord had commanded, this they had done. So Moses blessed them. In our readings, the details are given of all the work that was done to complete the robes of the priests and the tent of meeting and all the furniture and the utensils associated with it. It was all done according to the plans given to Moses by God. Every facet was completed to ensure that each article was constructed meticulously in accordance to the mandate of God. There were no shortcuts, no compromises, and no mistakes permitted. All was done just as the Lord had commanded Moses. What we want to consider this morning is the after effect of what happens when everything is done in full accordance to the plan and the purpose of God. This is something we may just gloss over in our lives. So many of us are trying to live our lives in line with that which will please God. We take Him into account in almost every decision and consider everything associated with our walk on this earth in light of His majesty and His honor and His glory. This is not to say that we do this perfectly and at every time, but we do take Him into account as the focal point of our lives. Accordingly, there is a great reality that is made manifest that we dare never take for granted. And I will admit that this consideration has been at work in my heart with respect to the manner in which I deal with you as a fellowship and as individuals. Therefore, it is incumbent upon me to share with you that which is at the heart of the recognition of this life that we live. When we honor God with all our substance and with the first fruits of our labor and with our heart and soul and mind and being, we are blessed. More than just being blessed, we are to recognize that we are blessed. And so honor the Lord all the more in the manner of our conduct and our behavior and our thanksgiving. As well, it should be a pronounced blessing from the heart of God to His people through those whom He has given the privilege of guidance and encouragement and support. Just as in our morning's reading, when all was done in full and beautiful tribute to God, according to that which He required, Moses blessed them. Moses blessed the workers. He blessed the tribes. He blessed the children. He blessed those who had given everything from their treasuries. He blessed those who supported the craftsmen and the laborers. He blessed the priests. He blessed all the people with the pronounced blessing of God. When we do that which honors God, we are to experience His blessing lavished upon us. We should never expect that we will receive the blessing of men on behalf of God, but that often does occur, as is the case in our text today. Moses blessed the people because he knew God was blessed by their obedient endeavors. This was also the case with Abraham, as we saw when we were reading Genesis, specifically Genesis 14, 18 through 20, after Abraham had rescued Lot from those kings who had launched their attack on Lot's city. Abraham was blessed by Melchizedek as being honoring to the Lord. Genesis 14, 18 through 20. And Melchizedek, king of Salem, brought out bread and wine. Now he was a priest of God Most High. And he blessed him and said, "Blessed be Abram of God Most High, possessor of heaven and earth, and blessed be God Most High, who has delivered your enemies into your hand." And he gave him a tenth of all. We see that the priest of God Melchizedek was prompted by the Lord to go out to Abraham, then Abram, and to let him know that God was pleased with Abraham's obedience to rescue Lot. Melchizedek declared that both God and Abram were blessed and honored. This was to serve as a means of assuring Abram that God was going before him as he obeyed the Lord in everything. Abram had left his homeland by faith. He had brought his family into the land of promise by faith. He had rescued Lot by faith. And God was pleased and blessed and wanted him to know it in a most tangible manner. We know in our hearts and in our minds when we are pleasing the Lord. There is a full sense of His glory resting upon us and a peace that invades our beings. This is also how we often know when we are doing something that displeases the Lord, because that peace and that rest are forfeit when we are disobedient to Him. However, when we do honor God with our obedience, He is gracious to us in that He will often send the message of His blessing through one of His servants. It is a marvelous thing to know that God so loves us and is so pleased in our honoring Him that He would give us the word of encouragement as Melchizedek gave to Abraham. This is the same as Moses did to all the people when they so honored God in their labor and skill and sacrifice. In line with this, we read the following in Leviticus 9, 22 and 23, when the tent of meeting was consecrated. Once again, the people were blessed, this time by both Moses and Aaron. Leviticus 9, 22 and 23. Then Aaron lifted up his hands toward the people and blessed them. And he stepped down after making the sin offering and the burnt offering and the peace offerings. And Moses and Aaron went into the tent of meeting. When they came out and blessed the people, the glory of the Lord appeared to all the people. Notice what happened when the people were blessed by Moses and Aaron. A huge part of that blessing was that the people could see the glory of God. When they came out and blessed the people, the glory of the Lord appeared to all the people. They were enabled to witness God's glory with their own eyes and hearts. They not only received the blessings of the two leaders, spiritually and politically, but they experienced the fact that God had given them a glimpse of His eternal glory in the manner of His direct encouragement to them that He was well pleased. This is something that should be an evidence in our lives as we please the Lord. We should not only have His peace and His rest manifested within our beings as we are honoring Him, but we as well should be witness to the glory of God. This is not in terms of some brilliant display of blinding light with multitudes of angels singing the Hallelujah chorus. This is the evident ruling and overruling of God in the very specific details of our lives, both great and small. It is as we are in earnest prayer and travail about the circumstances and the situations so far beyond our control, and we are enabled by God to witness as He so perfectly fits all the pieces into place that show that He has done all the work for us. In seeing His glory in action, we can only give Him more praise and more adoration for it all. It is as something which seems so hopeless and so extremely devastating suddenly turns, by the grace and the mercy of God, into a miraculous blessing revealing the glory of God, thus making it ours to cherish and to celebrate. It is when God answers our smallest need, such as showing us where we left our keys, that we can continually rejoice in His goodness and His care for such as ourselves. Nothing is too great or too small for His glory to envelop in full display to the eyes of those who so serve and honor and obey Him in the every detail of life. This then brings us to the blessing, as was detailed by Moses in Numbers 6, 23 through 27. While this was specifically for the children of Israel, it still holds true when voiced upon us by the mandate of God. Numbers 6, 23 through 27. Speak to Aaron and to his sons, saying, thus you shall bless the sons of Israel. You shall say to them, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up His countenance on you and give you peace. So they shall invoke My name on the sons of Israel, and I then will bless them. This is what we know, as we have already stipulated, as the blessing of God in our lives, when we so serve Him with all our beings, heart, mind, soul, and spirit. There is the true and evident knowledge of His face shining on us. So much so that, as we have stated, we know when His face is not shining upon us, when we are disobedient. It is the same with the full awareness of His peace as it is reigning in our lives or is not at all evident in our lives. We are so graced to have these blessings in place for the reality of our faithfully being unto God that which is our living devotion to Him. The other detail of in this blessing that is ours is the obvious and discernible grace of God that covers our lives and our families. This is something that we never ever want to take for granted in our consideration of the goodness and the glory and the love of God. He shows Himself mighty in our lives in so many varied ways by the working of His grace to cover and to protect and to seal us forever and forever. He is so gracious to us in ways and means that are far beyond any human comprehension. Consider for a moment the miracle of His choosing us to be included in His saving work of grace. All of us deserve to be condemned to hell, eternally in agony and torment because of our sin and our unrighteousness. As the Apostle Paul so forcefully details it for us in Romans 3:21-24. But now, apart from the law, the righteousness of God has been manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ for all those who believe. For there is no distinction, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, being justified as a gift by His grace through the redemption which is in Christ Jesus. Apart from the saving grace of God, we would all be receiving exactly what we deserve before His holiness. And please do not think that I am in any measure teaching that we can earn the merit of God or our salvation through anything that we might do for God. It is all only by His grace and His mercy, His gift to us, that any of us are brought into this living relationship in Jesus Christ. The manner in which we live our lives reflects the One who has made our life now and evermore. Accordingly, as we honor Him in our obedience, we experience the increasing awareness of how God's grace covers and keeps us day after day after day. We are able to enjoy the fullness of the grace of God shed so manifestly and freely upon us in the course of our pleasing Him. That grace is magnificent in the revealed majesty and sovereignty and nature of the Lord God Almighty. It is our anchor of assurance that God does have all things well in hand. Truthfully, if we do disobey and displease God, there is that doubt that infests our minds and our hearts as to whether we really know the grace of God as our salvation. We begin to harbor those thoughts and dreads that we might not be saved. But that is the consequence of our sinful disobedience and not the reality of our true life. God's grace covers, even in our times of despair and anguish. He causes us to turn back to Him and to seek His forgiveness and to continue forward in the lives that He has eternally given us in Jesus Christ. It is by His grace alone that we can humble ourselves before Him and ask Him to remove that sin which is causing us so much disobedience and so much displeasure before Him. Then, as He works, it is His grace that keeps us from being utterly consumed in the breadth and depth and magnitude of just how much we need to be cleansed from the filth that would strain our relationship with Him. His grace is sufficient and is perfect in the every manner in which He showers it upon us so that we are not completely annihilated or utterly discouraged as He makes us know the fuller wealth of His saving refinement in us. This too is our promise, as written in Deuteronomy 7, 12 through 14. The blessing of God upon us is far beyond all understanding in its fulfillment of God's glory revealed to us. Deuteronomy 7, 12 through 14. Then it shall come about, because you listen to these judgments and keep them and do them, that the Lord your God will keep with you His covenant and His loving kindness which He swore to your forefathers. And He will love you and bless you and multiply you. He will also bless the fruit of your womb and the fruit of your ground, your grain and your new wine and your oil, the increase of your herd and the young of your flock in the land which He swore to your forefathers to give you. You shall be blessed above all peoples. There shall be no male or female barren among you or among your cattle. His blessing flows forth unto all that we have and do. Our family, and our work, and our neighborhood, and our posterity are all the recipients of the fact that we bring Him into every meeting, every decision, every interaction, and every plan of our lives. It becomes very evident very quickly that where God has planted His people, there is a blessing in evidence upon all who are involved in our lives. It will be so obvious that we will be asked what the difference in our lives is. Why, when we go through trials and tribulations, is there hope and an assurance that everything will be okay? There is such confusion and such disillusionment and such despair in this realm which has no place in our lives in Jesus Christ. Note that we are not immune from the tests and the tribulations, and it even seems that we may have more trials than many others in this realm. But we echo the reality, as voiced by the Apostle Paul to Timothy in 2 Timothy 1:12, as he declared his complete trust in God. 2 Timothy 1:12. For this reason I also suffer these things, but I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and I am convinced that He is able to guard what I have entrusted to Him until that day. This is the blessed truth of God's hand on our lives. And we will continue with this consideration next time, Lord willing. So be it. And Moses examined all the work And behold, they had done it just as the Lord had commanded. This they had done. So Moses blessed them. Amen.